I just want to share my heart tonight with you guys about some thoughts that have been running through my mind recently about Christmas. And just give me your full attention for it's only going to take me like 15 minutes. I don't have a sermon to preach or anything. I just want to share some thoughts that have been on my mind recently about some things I've been thinking about Christmas. Usually I start to get a warm, fuzzy feeling around the beginning of December because I know that Christmas is right around the corner. In fact, one of my most vivid memories is of Christmas when I was 10 years old. You know, you have one of those memories where you think about it and you can smell, hear, taste everything that happened when you think about that memory. That's one of my most fondest memories. I was 10 years old. I was riding with my mom in her minivan, and we were going Christmas shopping, and we had just got done shopping. We were going to another store. It was in Elkton, so we were going to the Big Elk Mall, I guess. Peebles, yeah, the only store there. But we were going there, and it was me, my mom, and my sister. And we were in the minivan, and it just started snowing. And my mom had just turned the heat on. And you know, sometimes when you turn the heat on, and you can smell it, like the whatever it is, the mechanical part of it, you can smell it. I can still like recall that smell. And I just remember looking around with the snow, and I felt warm, and just being with my mom and my sister, looking around, seeing the presents. It's just like all of a sudden, I just felt warm, safe, secure, and alive. You know, you have those moments when you just feel like content. You don't want to be anywhere else. You're happy with where you are. That was one of my just a moment I remember in my life. But this year, I haven't had those warm, fuzzy Christmas feelings for some reason. To be honest, I haven't felt that way in a few years. Everything's the same. You come over to our house, leaders were over there Sunday night. We've got a beautiful Christmas tree. We got cookies. Paige has wrapped all the gifts. We have music playing 24/7. You know, we've got all the things associated with Christmas. But for some reason, I've just felt kind of like, like blasé for some reason this Christmas. In fact, when Paige asked me what I wanted for Christmas, I could not think of one thing I wanted. And that concerned me because that means I'm either getting old or I have everything I need, and I know that's not the case. I still want things. Now that just makes me feel greedy. That I want things, but I don't know what I want. But I could not think of one thing I wanted for Christmas. So as I thought about why I was feeling this way, why was I feeling like so blah? Why was I feeling this way about Christmas? I've come to realize that God has been changing everything in my life. God's been changing the way I think. He's been changing the way I talk. He's been changing the way I see things. He's been changing what I watch. You know, I'm not a legalist. I'm not someone that says you can't watch this, you can't listen to this. But it's like the closer I get to God, sometimes I go to Blockbuster now and things that I would watch a month ago, I'm just like, I don't feel comfortable with that anymore. I don't want to do that. So God's like changing everything about me. And he's doing the same with Christmas for me. I'm looking at Christmas this time of year differently. And I'm coming to realize that we've really messed this holiday up a lot. Even if Jesus, now like I said last week, even if Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, even if he was born July 10th, we have chosen December 25th as a day to celebrate the birth of our Savior. But I realized that on Christmas Day, I go to 5 different houses, I open dozens of presents, I eat 3 different dinners, I spend time with all my family, but I rarely, if ever, spend 5 minutes thinking about what the holiday is all about, what Christmas is really about, what it means. It'd be kind of like if it was your birthday and you had all your family and all your friends coming over to your house. They exchanged presents with each other. They gave each other cake. They talked and laughed with each other, but they never said a word to you. They never told you happy birthday. They never gave you one present. You'd be like, what's the deal? Why do you even come? That's probably what Jesus is up in heaven going, you're the one that made this holiday up. My name is in the holiday, but you don't even recognize me. Have you ever thought about that? We say Christmas is we're celebrating Jesus, but we give gifts to each other. What does that have to do with anything? That has nothing to do with Jesus. I mean, I like gifts. Presents are cool, but it has nothing to do with Jesus. What in according to the birth of Christ do we celebrate? My name, so tonight I just want to share a few thoughts with you, and hopefully you can take something I say tonight. Like I said, I'm only going to talk for about 12 minutes now. And hopefully you can take something I say and reflect on it Christmas morning. Usually when we think of Christmas, we focus on the birth of Jesus that's found in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. The book of Mark and John, there's no account of the birth of Jesus. You know the story, manger, shepherds, angels, wise men, let's see what else you got there. Oh, little baby Jesus in the manger. Now, all these things are true and they're definitely a part of the story of Jesus. But it's not the whole story of what happened when Jesus Christ came to earth. In fact, if you study the history of Christmas, you'll find that Christians did not start celebrating Christmas until the late 4th century. There was no, in the book of Acts, there was no Christmas. There was no getting up on December 25th and celebrating the birth of Jesus. They didn't really, the truth is, they didn't find it that important. They didn't think it was that significant. And to be honest, neither did Jesus. Jesus never said, okay guys, once a year, I want you to gather at each other's houses, throw me a nice little party with a happy birthday Jesus Carvel ice cream cake, and sing non-factual birthday songs to me. You know, he never said that. Now, don't get me wrong. They definitely thought that the birth of Jesus was very, very important. The first church thought that the birth of Jesus was very important, but they didn't think of it the way we do. I guess it's because as American Christians, we've made Jesus into a product. We have Jesus action figures. I had to show it because if you don't see it, it's unbelievable. We've made Jesus into a product. We have Jesus action figures. We have Jesus ashtrays. We have Jesus pencil toppers. Now, if you use the top of Jesus' head to erase your mistake, there's something wrong with you. And we have Jesus bobblehead dolls. Now, I don't know where they, what event they give those away at, but we have Jesus bobblehead dolls. We have turned Jesus into a pop culture fad. We've tried to make Jesus cool. You've seen the t-shirt, Jesus is my homeboy. You know, Jesus isn't my homeboy. He's my savior. He's my God. And we turned his birth into a cheesy holiday. That's what it's become in America. The early Christians understood the importance of the birth of Jesus in a much different way. Really quickly tonight, in about the next 9 minutes, I want to talk about, this is like 24, it's real time. I want to talk about the real Christmas morning. What should it mean to us? What does Christmas morning should it mean to us 2,000 years later? First, we have to understand. I want you to listen to me. This is a 20-second theology lesson. Jesus Christ was not created in Mary's womb. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in other words, Jesus has always existed. He wasn't created at his birth. He's always existed, and he's always been God. This is how John described Jesus in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:12, it said, first to give you some background, the apostle John was on an island, deserted. He was all by himself, and he was praying. And while he was praying, this happened to him. He said, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And among the lampstands, someone was like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Before Jesus Christ came to the earth, he was the King of heaven. He constantly had angels and heavenly beings bowing at his feet, singing, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He was the Prince of Peace, the beginning and the end, the creator of heaven and earth. But when Jesus Christ decided to come to earth and become one of his creations, that was the decision that changed the course of humanity. We talk about Jesus being born in a manger like it was no big deal. We talk about Jesus coming from heaven to earth like, oh, one day Jesus walking along like, you know what? I think I'm going to be born as a baby. And there he is. It was a huge deal. Just to illustrate how crazy this idea is that God would come to earth and be born as a little baby. I want to show you a video clip, but think about that. Before we watch this clip, think about how we portray it, how you look at Christmas You look at Christmas, we look at Christmas, I look at Christmas morning as Mary with the little baby in her arm, Joseph, he's usually like this, he looks concerned, and you got the shepherds and the wise men who actually weren't there, and then, you know, you have all this stuff. So, we're used to it. But when you watch this clip, I want you to actually think about what Jesus Christ did, what he had to go through to become a little baby. So go ahead, Dave. Every time I see that, it amazes me, because that was from the beginning of the movie Contact. But that is like the galaxies and the universes that we know of. It was amazing because it started with Earth, and we think of our life as so important and so, everything revolves around us. But when you see something like that, when you start to pull back from God's perspective and you see that Earth is literally, scientists describe the planet Earth as literally like a grain of sand on the beach compared to the universe. The universe that we think the galaxy that we live in, we think is so immense, but it's nothing like but a pin drop in comparison to the rest of space. And space never ends. Those are just the universes we know of. So Jesus traveled through time. Not only did he travel through time and space to come to Earth, he also gave up everything in order to become one of us. Philippians chapter 2. This is a version called The Message. It's easy to understand. It says, this is Paul. He says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anything or anyone ever. So that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of the Father. Verse 7, can you go back to 7, Dave? Verse 7 says that Jesus set aside all the privileges of being God. When Jesus was born as a little baby, he didn't stop being God. He was still God. If he wasn't God, then he wouldn't have been able to die for our sins. He was still God, but he chose not to possess all the powers of God. Another version says he emptied himself of those powers. God has qualities, just like Edwin's good at things and Ruth's good at things. God is good at things. God's good at being the creator. Jesus Christ created everything. He created what we just saw that video. He held those galaxies in the palm of his hand. That's nothing to him. He created that. But when he decided to become a baby, when he decided to become a human being, he laid it all aside. He gave it up. God's good at being omniscient. He knows everything. But when Jesus Christ became a human being, he became just like you and me. We don't know where our next step is going to lead. God's good at being omnipotent, all-powerful. But God, when Jesus Christ decided to come and be born into a baby, he entrusted himself to two teenage parents and being born out in the middle of nowhere in a barn. God is good at being omnipresent everywhere at once. But when Jesus Christ came and was born as a baby, he could go and be at one place at one time, just like you and just like me. Why did he do this? Why did Jesus do this? Because he wanted to become one of us. So nobody could say, the only reason Jesus could only do those things because he was God. He became a human being. Nobody can say that. Nobody can say that Jesus could only heal because he was God. Jesus could only raise people from the dead because he was God. Jesus could only do all these miracles because he was God. In fact, Jesus said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. That is an amazing thought. We can do everything that Jesus Christ did and more. We can raise the dead. I know a lot of people don't believe that. I don't care how old you are in here. I don't care if you're 14 or if you're 40. You can go up into a hospital. When you leave this place, you can go up to the hospital up by Hartford Mall. Walk into a room, walk into the morgue, and if somebody's died, if you have faith, you can lay hands on that person and they will rise. Jesus isn't a liar. He said, according to that scripture, we can do whatever he's done and more. We can heal, see people get healed. We can see miracles right in front of our face. That's the part of Christmas that we don't think of. Jesus became just like us so that we could become just like him. What else did Christmas morning mean to Jesus? Go back to Philippians 2:7, Dave, if you don't mind. Well, it said, Jesus took on the status of a slave. You see, Jesus took on that's exactly what it says. Jesus took on the status of a slave. What does that mean? This is where I'm going to end tonight. I told you. It's like three more minutes. I want to drive this point in, I want to tell you a story that I heard. And this, what does it mean when it says Jesus took on the status of a slave? He was God, but yet he came down to earth and he took on the position of a slave. What does that mean? There was a king. This king was the king of the largest, the wealthiest, most powerful country on earth. He had everything you could imagine. He had an immense, huge palace. He had servants that would bring him anything that he wanted. He could make a crazy request, and they would do whatever they had to do to get that thing. He had cars. He had the Lamborghinis, the Maybachs, the Bentleys. He had everything. And he had the most beautiful woman in the world as his wife. Well, the second most beautiful woman, because Paige is my wife. Where's she at? Oh, thank you. All right. So one day this powerful king, he was sitting in his throne room and he was talking to one of his officials, and the official told him of a far off country where there was an evil man who ruled the country. He was a dictator. He was kind of like Saddam Hussein or Hitler. It was like Hitler, and this official was telling this king of this country where this evil man was ruling it. This man tortured and killed people for no reason, and he had thousands and tens of thousands of slaves. He held them captive. He had them as slaves. Now, the king became extremely upset about this. He felt compassion for those slaves. He wanted to help them. So the next day, he called everybody in the city and said, I want you to come to my palace because I have a very important announcement to make. So the next day, he came out of his throne room and he addressed the crowd and he said, I cannot stand by any longer while these horrible things are happening to these slaves. So I am going to help them, but I am going by myself. I am leaving all of this behind. I'm leaving my palace behind. I'm leaving my money behind. I'm leaving my cars. I'm even leaving my family behind. And I'm going to them. I'm leaving my royalty. I'm leaving my crown here. And I'm going to them. So a few days later, he came out of the palace and dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. And he got on a broke down horse and began the long trip to this foreign country. When he finally got there a few weeks later, nobody knew him. Nobody knew he was a king. Nobody knew that he was wealthy and powerful and had all this royalty. Nobody knew that. So nobody respected him. Nobody was kind to him. So he had to sleep. And he had no money. So he had to sleep in an alley in a cardboard box. One day, as he was begging for food, he heard a clinking noise. When metal hits metal, he heard a clinking noise. And he looked down the street and he saw a line of prisoners being led along in chains. And he said, finally, I found these slaves that I've been looking for. I've been searching for these slaves that I heard about. So he ran down the street and he went up to the man that was holding these slaves captive, the leader, the guy that was holding them down. And he said, you got to let these people go. They're innocent. Why are you doing this to these innocent people? But the man just ignored him. He kept pushing him away. He said, if you don't get out of here, you're going to become one of them. So he kept pushing the king away. Finally, I lost my place. Oh, okay, here we go. After pleading with the man, the king pleaded with the man for a long time. And he pleaded with him. But finally, he realized that this wasn't getting anywhere. This guy was not going to answer his request this way. But he had to help these people. So in an act of desperation, the king went to the back of the line of the slaves. He found some empty shackles. He found some empty chains. And he put them on himself. He bound himself. He voluntarily became a slave so that he might help these people become free. Well, he followed the line of slaves to the prison where they were slaves, where they slept and they ate, and that's where they stayed. When he got there, the king was beaten, he was spit on, he was degraded, and he was worked almost to the point of death by the slave owners. While all of this was going on, the king kept encouraging the other slaves. He kept saying, "Hey, I'm here to free you from this. I'm here. There's a way out of this. You're better than this. Just believe in me. Trust in me. I'll get you out of here." And the king loved the other slaves. He cared for them. He cleaned them up. He put bandages on them. He fed them. At first, the other slaves loved the king. You know, they were thinking, maybe he's right. Maybe somebody actually has come to free us from this living hell that we've been existing in. But then some of the other slaves began to spread rumors about the king. They kept saying, "He's a liar. He's a spy that the dictator has sent to spy on us." And these men convinced the other slaves that the king was not there to help them, that he was actually there to hurt them. So one cold morning, while the king was still sleeping, they all gathered around him and began to kick him and beat him and punch him until he finally died. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did for all of us. He voluntarily laid aside his majesty and his power, and he became a slave. He was born into a human body and dealt with human temptations so that we could never say, "Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. Jesus, you tell me to be holy, but you don't know what I'm going through, Jesus." We can never say that because Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He faced every temptation you've ever faced. I don't care what it is. I'll be honest with you. I don't care if it's sexual. I don't care what it is. Jesus Christ, the says in Hebrews that he faced every temptation. But he faced temptations that we'll never face. Satan, how many has had Satan physically appear to them and offer them the world? Not me. Hasn't happened recently. But that happened to Jesus. Satan offered him everything. Jesus faced every temptation that we could possibly ever face. And he resisted them. And he did it for all of us, dirty, rotten slaves. That's the real meaning of Christmas morning. When you see that little baby in the manger in the nativity scene, if they're allowed to be up anymore, understand one thing. Jesus Christ did not come to live a fun, successful life filled with safety and security. Jesus was born for one reason and one reason alone. When you see that little baby in the manger, know that that little baby was born to die. That's the number one reason. That's why he came. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he knew that the only way to free us slaves was become one of us and die for us. It's not about jingle bells. It's not about Frosty the Snowman or Santa Claus. What we need to be celebrating this Christmas is the fact that our King would take on the nature of a slave so that he could free us from sin. That's love. Can I get the worship team to come on up? I'm not trying to be a party pooper. We'll party next week. We'll have the Christmas party next week. But what I want you to do is on Christmas morning, after you're done opening your presents, after you've eaten breakfast or whatever you do, take a few minutes. Take 5 minutes. That's the title of my message. Take 5 minutes and think about what I just talked about. The reason we celebrate this holiday, I know it's got all messed up, but the reason we celebrate this holiday is to think about Jesus Christ came from way out there, way down here, to become one of us. Christmas morning to us should mean freedom. Freedom. Because without Jesus coming, we'd be lost. There'd be no freedom. There'd be no heaven for us. We would be lost. We would be condemned forever. Can I get you guys to stand? The reason I preach first is because we're going to be singing about Jesus. Now, like last week I said, we can't make you guys worship. But what I just talked about, we're going to be singing about Jesus. And I would hope that you would want to worship after hearing what he's done for us, after hearing the price he paid. So they're going to start playing and singing. And if you feel led, come on up. Come to the front. Find a place by yourself and begin to just thank God Thank Him for what He did. Thank Jesus for the price He paid for us. Thank Him for coming all that way to become a slave so that you didn't have to be a slave anymore.